number 10,188, Peter A. Sini, Westover Road, 288, south of Hazard Drive, being Lot 37, Wind Conley Capital Village Development, a variance from rear yard setback requirement.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman.
Good evening.
Members of the board, my name is Robert Witzel. I'm here on behalf of Mr. Sani. We have one witness. Mr. Records, would you sit down?
Up here, this way. What's your name and address for the record, please?
Peter A. Sani, 31538 Hazard Drive.
Do you swear affirm testimony you're about to give should be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Mr. Chairman, I have a couple of other photographs and a couple of other documents to supplement the record that I provided to you. Mr. Records, does the board have the package of information that I...
Yes.
It's in a blue...
It's in the blue folder right in front, gentlemen. The next page.
There are two more photographs. I just have two of each.
Of each, excuse me. Okay.
Once again, good evening. We are here on a public hearing for to request a 10-foot variance from a 20-foot rear yard setback requirement. And I'm addressing both the board this evening and those folks behind me who are here either to learn or to speak about this application. Mr. Sani noticed that there were several neighbors present, and hopefully my comments this evening might make them more aware of what we're applying for. Earlier this year, Mr. Sani contracted with a contractor, Donald Chapman, and that contract, as unprofessional as it is, on a one-page handwritten note, is in the packet that I've presented to you. Mr. Chapman did not serve Mr. Sani well, to say the least. And you, the board members, have heard many, many applications similar to this, where basically an unwitting property owner has contracted with a relatively unprofessional, I don't know Mr. Chapman, but based upon the services that he provided to Mr. Sani, provided extremely unprofessional services. He brought Mr. Sani in to apply for a building permit, which Mr. Sani himself signed. And that building permit, a copy of that permit, is on the left-hand side of your packet that I have provided to you. Mr. Sani will confirm that Mr. Chapman took control of the permit process, that he came in, he spoke with the permit people in the Sussex County office, and did all the acquisition of permits for Mr. Sani. In fact, Mr. Chapman held on to all the building permits himself. It wasn't until recently that we were able to acquire copies of both the contract and the permits that Mr. Chapman acquired from Mr. Sani. Thereafter, Mr. Sani commenced work. As you may recall from many other applications, the permit office does not require a survey with the proposed footprint of the structure on the survey. For many reasons, that's probably a good thing, because most folks don't want to spend $650 for a survey when their construction, in this case, was between $10,000 and $12,000. That certainly would have put the county office on notice that the proposed structure was going to violate a rear yard setback area. In addition to the combination of practical difficulties of contracting with an unprofessional contractor and not understanding the nature of the permit process, Mr. Sani was well aware of neighbors' structures, legitimate neighbors' structures, which happened to be, in my opinion, as I looked through the community and at the photographs, accessory buildings. And you know, and Mr. Burl knows, that the Sussex County Code defines an accessory building as that structure which is less than 600 square feet in area. And the definition is on the second page of my proposed findings of fact. But it is those structures which are not necessarily attached to the structure, which are 600 feet or less, square feet or less in area. And those structures can encroach 5 feet setback area. So in looking through his community, Mr. Sani was aware of several other structures, mainly garage structures, some sheds, which were within 5 feet of the setback area, much closer by 5 feet than his structure as it was being completed. To compound the problem, Mr. Sani was not a healthy man, to say the least. And he originally, in the packet you'll see, had a prescription from a physician for a aquatherapy facility, an aquatherapy tub, a large hot tub for medical purposes. And that was the original reason for this structure. This is not really a living structure. This is a therapy, aquatherapy structure. And in the photographs that I've provided to you, I'm sorry, I had three, but this is a picture of what's inside the building. There are four windows and one aquatherapy tub. I think there are two or three chairs in it. While Mr. Chapman was performing this construction job, Mr. Sani was deathly ill with a heart condition and had, in fact, a heart operation. He will tell you briefly about that. I think it's fair to say that he was a very hands-off owner and that Mr. Chapman had total control of this construction process. Those are the combinations of error that basically snowballed into what Dean Pettyjohn of the planning office found to be, when he went out to inspect for the CO, a rear yard setback violation. Mr. Pettyjohn believed it was that there were 11 feet of open space, which technically would mean we're seeking a 9-foot variance, but he was not sure. You can see from his drawing, which is the second or third exhibit on the left-hand side of my packet, those are his notes. And as a safety factor and having a little bit of leeway, we applied for a 10-foot variance instead of a 9-foot variance at his suggestion. This structure is 432 square feet. It's 24 feet by 18 feet. I am positive, after reading the code, that if this were not attached to the structure, which it is, you can see from the photograph on the first page, beneath Mr. Sani's house in Conley's Chapel Village, that it is attached. I'm convinced after looking at the code that if it were detached by 1 foot, which may be the ultimate remedy if this variance is not granted, that it would be a legitimate accessory structure. The definition of accessory structure, which I've included on the second page of my findings of fact, is a building which is not part of the main building. It may be constructed in the rear yard, providing the accessory building does not contain more than 600 square feet, and it may be located 5 feet from a side and 5 feet from a rear lot line. And then the code also defines accessory building as a subordinate building or a portion of the main building, the use of which is clearly incidental or customarily found in connection with the structure. And so I think we meet those definitions, but for the fact that we're connected and it looks like part of the main structure. arguably, you could reach a decision that this variance isn't necessary because it is an accessory structure that's attached, but I think everybody would be more comfortable with you issuing the variance. Let me briefly go over the requisite elements that are also in my findings of fact, the proposed findings of fact. It's not a particularly unique shaped lot. It is 145 feet wide by 125 feet deep. It's a fairly good sized lot. What is unique about this is that the pattern of development in the community, from everything that I've seen there, and particularly Mr. Sani's placement of his house, is that everyone was placing their houses or constructing them at a 60-foot depth, which takes care of a lot of that parcel just in the location of the house. Mr. Sani's house is built to 60 feet, which leaves a relatively shallow and relatively limited rear yard area for any other structures. The location of the structure as built by Mr. Chapman prevents any conformity whatsoever with the code. We just can't comply unless ten feet were to be torn off, which would be an exceptional difficulty for my client. Or if 1 foot were, half a foot, 6 inches, were taken away from the front of the structure where it joins with the residential structure and you declared it to be an accessory building. That would also be a practical difficulty. But we ask you this evening to consider this combination of difficulties, the acquisition, the improper acquisition of permits by the contractor. He was subsequently fired, and he just didn't show up. Mr. Sani had to have another contractor finish the job. Mr. Sani's medical difficulties and the location of this structure, together with the confusion about the location of the other accessory buildings proximate to the rear yard line, I think adds up to exceptional practical difficulty and unnecessary hardship. Because the structure is there now, it will not further alter the essential characteristics of the neighborhood. And the characteristics of the neighborhood are that there are several other structures within 5 feet of the rear yard lot lines. There are also other variances that have been applied for and granted in the community. If you would look at the plat of the community, it's not in my packet, it was the additional piece of paper that I handed to you. Mr. Sani's property is number 156, which is basically in the center of the community. Across the street and towards the entrance there was a variance granted for this structure, and we believe that it's a rear yard variance. Mr. Rickards,
that's correct.
Is that correct? And it's for some type of a auto repair operation. I can't say a commercial operation, but it's a lot of things happen inside the garage for auto repairs. And that is on lot number 150, parcel number 159, lot 40. Additionally, there was a side yard variance on lot number 152, which is to the left and at the corner of Conley Circle and South Conley Circle. In the packet of information which I've provided to you, on the back second page of the photograph, below Mr. Zayani's photograph of the rear of his parcel, which shows the 10 feet between it and the rear yard lot line, is a photograph of another structure on parcel number 157, which I believe, is the accessory building closest to Mr. Cianni's parcel. And then on the second page at the top, there's a photograph of parcel 161, which is lot number 42, which appears to have another accessory building in the back right-hand corner. Finally, and I need to address it because my client has made me aware of it, there is an ancillary issue which I think has no bearing on this application whatsoever, but which has caused some consternation in the community. And that is that Mr. Cianni had previously rented an upstairs room to a person, as well as having his nephew in an upstairs room, both of which are completely legitimate under the code, but which bothered some neighbors, and which appears to have been the subject of some sore feelings throughout the community. We may hear about that. I might not have the opportunity to provide rebuttal testimony, so I'd like to just briefly address it now. The code provides for unrelated people to be living together in a single-family residence. There is also a specific provision, which I've given to you, which provides for one room of a detached single-family dwelling may be used in a house for rental purposes. Actually, the whole house could be rented. It could be rented to five or four. Mr. Burrell, I think it's four unrelated persons.
Three.
There are not three unrelated persons in this household. And as a result of Mr. Pettyjohn's comments to Mr. Cianni, he invited Mr. Pettyjohn to come out. And in fact, Mr. Pettyjohn has told Mr. Cianni there is no rental issue and no rental violation whatsoever. I have submitted to you in closing the statement of the neighbor across the street who does not oppose and in fact supports the application for a variance. That would be on lot number, parcel number 161 and lot 42. And in closing, Mr. Rickard suggested to me that you would like to have the address of Mr. Chapman for correspondence purposes. The last known address that we have is on the correspondence which I've provided to you from Betts and Abram, which is their letter to him stating that he's in breach of the contract, and that's the best address we have.
That's good enough.
I thank you.
Do you know if he's a licensed contractor in the state?
I'm going to bring Mr. Cianni up right now. Mr. Peter, would you please state your name for the record?
Peter A. Cianni.
And I've talked for about 10 minutes here explaining everything personal to you. Is everything that I've said true and correct to the best of your knowledge?
Yes, it is.
And to answer the question, do you know if Mr. Chapman has a business license? Did you ever see it?
No, sir, I did not. No.
I made some comments about your medical conditions. I did not go into any great detail. Did I state them accurately? Did you have this, the prescription for the aquatherapy tub?
Yes, I did.
Is the room specifically used for aquatherapy?
Yes, it is.
And I made the representation that you had a very hands-off involvement with this construction because of a subsequent heart condition.
Yes,
is that correct?
That's true, yes.
Were you able to pay attention to what Mr. Chapman was doing, and did you have the opportunity to double-check on permits that he had acquired?
No, I did not.
Did you rely on him?
Yes, totally.
For all of the application process?
Yes.
You understood throughout the process that it would have done you no good to have knowingly violated a setback.
No, I would have not done it willingly or intentionally.
Mr. Chairman, I thank you for the board's attention. I think that concludes my presentation. If you have any questions for us, I would be pleased to entertain them.
And are there any questions from members of the board? Mr. McGabe?
No, sir.
Mr. Workman?
Yeah, did you come up with the size of the building? Did you come up with that size, the addition?
I'm sorry?
Who came up with the size of the building?
Mr. Chapman did.
He did?
Yes, sir.
You suggested to him that you needed a building of some size.
Yes, I only explained the size of the hot tub and pretty much what the room was going to be for, and he did the drawings and came up with the size.
Did you see the drawings?
Yes, sir.
I mean, it could be a lot shorter way look in this picture. I mean, it didn't have to be that big as that just for a hot tub.
Well, that was his suggestion, sir.
Okay.
Did he obtain the permit?
I'm sorry?
Did he obtain the permit?
He came with me when I came to the building here, and all I paid for the permit, and he took the papers.
But the permit shows the correct setbacks.
Yes, it does, sir. I saw that.
So the builder knew at that time?
I'm sorry?
The builder knew at that time when you were with him that...
Evidently, yes.
He knew, or he should have known, Mr. Rickards.
Mr. Mills?
Any other questions?
Okay. Hearing no further questions, are there any persons here that are in favor of this application?
Mr. Chairman, I have one letter here.
In favor?
In favor, sir.
Okay. Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Anyone please keep your hands up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay, do we have a spokesman here for the group that's, if not all those that are in opposition that would like to speak, would you please come forward at this time so we can have you sworn in? Again, all those that would like to speak, please come forward. And ladies and gentlemen, while you're on your way up to be sworn in, everyone will be afforded an opportunity to speak, but I ask that you not be redundant over and over again, please. Please step up there.
Yeah, everybody come forward. That's the first thing all the time. First, going to have you give your names and addresses to the recording secretary.
Michael Morris, 3154 Hazard Drive, Lewis, Delaware.
Mary Ellen Morris. Same address.
Squeeze over here. Next.
Help me. 31546.
M-E-A-D-E?
No E at the end.
No E.
Right.
Okay.
31546 South Conley Circle, College Up Village.
Hugh Rendell, H-U-G-H, R-E-N-D-A-L-O. R-E-N-D-A-L-O.
Okay.
31549 South Conley.
Teresa Bobluch, B-O-B-L-O-O-C-H, 31567 South Conley Circle.
Helene Erickson, A-T-L-E-N-E.
Erickson.
Giovanardo, G-I-A-L-L-O-N-A-R-D-O.
Okay.
31525 Hazard Drive. Okay.
Can you all kind of squeeze in here and put your hands on the Bible, please? Can you all swear or affirm testimony you're about to give should be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Okay. One at a time at the podium, and if the rest of you could just kind of stand off to the side until your turn.
Ladies, go first, if you would, please. Okay.
Repeat your name as you begin
okay.
speaking.
Okay, my name is Philip Mead. Basically, my concern, I've got a couple, but the biggest concern that I have is a lack of privacy for the neighbors that the addition has created. His lot, when he built the house, he elevated his entire lot maybe 3-4 feet. The whole thing. So the house is already very high. And then by building this addition off the back side, you know, out of the windows, which I believe it was stated there was 4 windows. I have a picture. I don't know. I see at least 7 windows alone just in this one picture. But looking out the windows looks directly over a 6-foot fence right into people's backyards. So that's my biggest concern.
Privacy.
Also, creates a drainage issue because the lot was raised so much, you know, and he's in the middle of development. All his water now runs. It changed the whole drainage situation in the development middle. So that's another issue. And, well, because, I'm sorry, I forgot his name, the attorney brought it up. I'm not sure if anybody here was going to speak about the other because it's a separate issue. I'm very, very upset about renting rooms by the week.
Well, if you heard the attorney right, that's allowed.
That's allowed, though.
According not to for multiple rooms, multiple renters. He has ads in the guide.
He's allowed to rent.
This may be hearsay, but I mean, there was a suicide in one of them a couple weeks ago. I mean, it's...
He's allowed to rent a room.
A room.
To a person.
A room.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right. I have some pictures showing the height and the fence, and I'll address those there. Thank you.
So what's your lot number?
I'm 31546 is my address. I'm not sure the lot number on the plot. I really don't know.
You're right across behind him. There's a site right here. That's his size.
I'm right
here. You're right there.
Yes, but I can, you know, look up over the fence here, into this backyard, these yards here.
But he can't see you at all.
Well, he can definitely see me through here, through the driveway, but...
Okay, you'll have an opportunity.
You have the opportunity, sir. Okay. Like, yeah.
I'm concerned for my neighbors. You know.
Okay.
He can't directly see yours. You're worried about your neighbors, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so privacy then really won't be an issue for you. No, you as an individual. Let's take you each one then. So it doesn't affect you, but your neighbors. You're concerned for your neighbors.
Right.
Okay. I just want to get it right then.
That's fine. All
right.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Okay.
Mr. Mead, go to the podium. Yeah, the fact that he built his lot up is not the issue here, nor is it an issue for us. But you're saying that because of the height of that those first floor windows, it evades others' privacy. How about the height of the windows on the second floor? Had this been the second floor on a regular level?
No, it's just because of the proximity. They're so close to the boundary, you know, where those are.
Okay.
You know, and to me, a variance is something, again, I understand the situation, but, you know, you'd get a variance before you look, you do that before. And all the variances we've heard here tonight are something that you do in advance, not after the fact, you know, when it affects a lot of other people.
And how would, in relation to the privacy factor, without the fence, how would that be different as far as privacy?
I'll tell you, you know, the 6-foot fence really is not doing much because of the height, you know, so...
But I'm saying, if the fence was not there, then how would that evade the neighbor's privacy?
I understand what you're saying.
Are you suggesting that because it's over the fence, that the neighbors are no longer have privacy? But if the fence were not there, then what would be the difference?
There would not be any difference.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. That's what I was saying. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mead.
My name is Hugh Rendell. My property is directly behind Pete's property. And the...
Lot 30? 49. Or what?
It was originally 30. 31549.
Okay.
The old number was 30, yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We didn't realize, you know, how far it was supposed to be back. And the... if it had been lower, as Phil had said, it was down below the fence, but it's the height is one thing. Even if you have to take it back 10 feet, it's still going to be high, but at least it's going to be back. And I've known Pete. We've done things together, and we, you know, we're saddened about his health conditions, but unfortunately, I believe it's affecting my property value by being virtually on my property line.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he has an existing shed that's on the line, which is fine, and that's off to the side. But this is right in the middle, right in the middle of the property, and we have a sunroom. And as far as our sunroom is set properly, I believe. And now his is overlooking ours. I mean, we could plant trees there eventually and block it, but that's not really the issue. We just feel it's just. That, well, I personally think if you got a permit for it, And he knew he was going to put an 8-foot hot tub in there. There wasn't even more room to put anything else in there. And so I believe that when he put the 8-foot hot tub in there, it was, they just went, they just, you know, threw the extra one on. Because if you put the 8-foot hot tub, that'd be about all further you can come out and be with in compliance.
Sir, would you have a problem? I mean, if he took the 10-foot off, I mean, he could still see.
I know.
Would you have a problem with that?
Well, you got to do what you got to do.
I mean, legally, if you took the 10 feet off, it's still that height.
Still be height, that's true. Yeah.
You still have a problem with that?
It would be in code. I'd rather see it in code.
But they also suggested that they could detach this building.
Yeah, that'd be the same thing. I mean, I don't want to do this. I prefer not to be here.
I understand.
Okay. But I think he might have pushed the envelope a little bit. No, I'm not, you know, I mean, Grant had been a fly-by-night contract, but unfortunately, Pete's still responsible.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
My name is Michael Morris. I live beside him. I built a sunroom also. I had two lots, and I hired a lawyer, deeded both together so I can put my shop where I have it now, under code, where it's supposed to be. Hired a lawyer to do that, hired some proper contractors to get the job done correctly. I built a sunroom. I wanted it bigger, but I had to stay under code. I wanted my deck larger. I had to stay under code. I hired the licensed contractor. I did everything right. I tried to do everything right. I'm not a builder. I didn't know everything, but I looked into it. But I just wanted to follow code and do the proper things that have been established. Why such a big room for one hot tub? I'm not sure why he needs such a huge room for that. I don't know. Department issue is, that's a totally different issue. When that hot tub is gone, what happens? I don't know. We had another variance. They had a picture of that other variance. It was supported by a couple people in development. They regret it now. It's become a business. We're going after that guy now because it is an eyesore. It's a disgrace to our development. We are embarrassed. We can't sell our property. We've gone down hundreds of thousands of dollars trying to sell our property. Because of that, the variance change, that shed should have never been approved. Because it's so close to the property value, and you see what it looks like now, we're really upset about that change in the variance, but that's been done. Now, the cars in there, there's at least 7 or 8 cars in that apartment. Now, you're saying he's allowed to rent one room? One room. That would be great if one room were rented. Okay, I have a picture of 7 cars here. He's going to have to expand his parking lot to utilize the. He needs a bigger parking lot for his bigger complex, and this is residential. It's not a commercial, but I have pictures here so you can see how big the parking lot here is. Where is it in? I don't know. As far as the privacy issue, I'm right beside him. I'd rather be him be under code also. Okay.
If your builder built your sunroom and he encroached it, would you have known it?
I would have looked into it.
I said, would you have known it?
Would you have known it that way?
If I looked into it, I would have known
before,
it.
Before the inspector came out there.
Before I'm going to look. Go on the internet and take a look. It's all on the internet.
Sure.
I mean, it's everywhere.
But you would have known it. You would have known that you were 10 feet.
If I'm going to build something, I'm going to look into it. It only takes, 5 minutes on the internet? All those codes are in the internet. You could sit at your desk and look at the codes.
And you walked out in your backyard and you looked at it and you said, I'm in code, right?
I most certainly did. Good. And anybody's going to build something that close should also. I mean, it doesn't take a lot of energy to walk 10 feet and get a tape measure out and to sit at your desk.
Maybe you can talk to our inspectors. We say that all the time.
Yeah. But what has us upset also is that other variance that was passed. That's bygone, but you can see what it looks like. He has a picture of it now and see what that what happened there. So I'm glad you had that picture. I do have also 12 people against it. You want pictures of the parking lot?
Sure.
You want a picture of the guide where he advertises the room?
No.
He's allowed to do that. Garage.
One room.
Like in front of me.
Not three.
You mean like a four-wheeler? Mm-hmm. No, he's
good. And by the way, I have spoken to many of his people that have stayed in his rooms, that have left, that were not related.
Thank you. Chairman?
Yes,
sir. I'm allowed cross-examination. This really isn't cross-examination, but if Mr. Morris could come forward, I just have a question for him.
Well, hold on. We'll do this maybe after all the opponents have spoken, then we'll give Mr. Witzel an opportunity to raise questions if he wants to.
It was just one question of this one witness.
Well, one leads to more, so okay. let's do it the way we usually do.
Okay, we're trying to give him a chance. Okay, ma'am.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the council, and thank you for the opportunity to provide comments on these two matters. I listened to the attorney for Pete, and, you know, we could all walk in here and use a bad contract, a one-pager, the guy's missing, we can't find him. But isn't it all of our responsibility to make sure that things are done in a fair and prudent manner? And it just seems like with Pete's property, anything goes. And I happen to work out of my house, so I'm home all day long. And I know that Pete was overseeing the job because I saw him out there talking to the workers many, many days. The other structures that have been mentioned are small sheds in the neighborhood for the most part. I believe that the addition alters the character of the neighborhood and the appearance and does take away from our property values. And for me personally, it takes away from privacy, as does the boarding house that he's operating. And I know I hear you all saying one room, and I feel with all due respect that we should be given the opportunity to discuss our concerns related to that boarding house, because I believe it affects the security and stability of our community, and it's all compromised. It was once a very nice community. It's very professional, doctors, nurses, teachers. And the boarding house, my house sits here, Pete's house is here, the boarding house is up here, so consequently I have three and four men hanging over the deck, smoking cigarettes, talking on cell phones, peering right into my back door, peering right onto my deck that I no longer sit on, and I've spent a fortune on landscaping trying to privatize it. He advertises in the guide. We have a copy of the ad.
Let's put an end to this now because...
I don't understand why.
Well, let me speak. It may be an issue, it may be illegal, but it has nothing to do with the request for a variance tonight, okay?
I agree with you. However...
Ma'am?
Okay, then we will hear no more testimony in reference to the rental.
But the Office of Planning and Zoning told us to bring it up.
Well, you bring it up outside the scope of this hearing. It's not an issue for a zoning hearing tonight. It has nothing to do with whether or not the variance request meets the requirements
okay.
of the code.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, if it's a technicality, fair enough, but the two are related in that this gentleman chooses to do whatever he wants with the property and doesn't care how it affects the rest of the neighborhood, period. And as our representatives, we should be able to come here and discuss these matters with you, whether it's a technicality, whether it's related or not.
It's
a concern of our community, and you represent our communities.
Ma'am, I can guarantee
you're not
helping your cause
you.
Arguing with everybody.
I'm not arguing. I'm stating facts.
Oh, boy.
Who's that? Stick to the issues.
Okay. My name is Mary Ellen Morris, and I live to the right of Pete's property, so a lot of this does affect our property. It takes away from the aesthetics of our community. We all try to be respectful of others, our neighbors, as far as their privacy and not encroach on them. And this structure being so far beyond that line, I feel diminishes our personal living area. The other point I wanted to bring up was it brings down the property value of our home and the homes surrounding it. If you look in our development, several homes are up for sale because of the structure next to us, let's just put it that way. The additional structure juts out so far beyond what all of ours do that selling it to anyone, when they look at that property, it becomes difficult to bring, and it brings down the value of our homes and those surrounding it. So those are the two issues I wanted to bring up.
Thank you.
Ma'am, I got a question.
Yes.
Can you just brought that up. Can you see that driving down your street?
Yes.
Built, I mean, behind it, you can see that.
Behind the structure? You mean the parking structure?
But what he built.
Yes, absolutely.
You're going down the street, you can definitely see this.
From my house, you can see it, yes.
From your house. But how about anybody else going around the street and stuff? Can they see this too, unless they get behind it or?
Yeah, on the side of it, you can, because I took a picture of it.
I can.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome.
Good evening. My name is Carolyn Gelinardo. I'm here basically for the same issues that are going on with this. In effect, when he built this addition, he knew that he needed a variance. And when he did that, he was disrespecting the laws of Sussex County. Now, in effect, he's laughing in the face of the lawmakers, which is you, because he's doing what he wants to do, and he's expecting to get away with it. And yes, you can see the structure. When you drive down Hazard Drive from Wilking into the development, you definitely can see the structure in the back.
The height of it.
You can see the size of it, yes. And like they said, with all the cars that are parked there, yes, the structure, what he's doing is really what he wants to do.
You suggested that he knew in the process. What's?
I think he knew, yes.
I think he knew, but you
didn't.
Well,
he came here, and he came when they applied for the permit. He knew the size that he wanted. He knew how much space he has. He's not an idiot. He thinks we are, and you are. That's all I'm going to say. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Hi, my name is Helene Erickson, and originally I just came here tonight to support my my neighbors, but when the lawyer brought up the health issues, it was kind of upsetting to me because I suffered from heart failure back in November, and I've been out of work since November. I have no family in the area, and I've had to apply for disability, all kinds of paperwork that was very complicated, a long process, and I had to do it. I didn't have anyone doing it for me, and when I couldn't do it, I asked for help. When I couldn't take care of my property, I got someone else to do it. And I just don't think using your health issues are relevant to the reason for not getting a variance. And I had cancer 3 years ago, and I still had to figure out how to do all my paperwork. So that's all I wanted to say.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, Mr. Ra, what's my love here?
Mr. Chairman, I wanted to ask Mr. Morris if he would come forward and just identify this structure. I think we can do it for him, but I just wanted to make sure that I had the right photograph. It's not really cross-examination, but...
Mr. Morris, could you do that for us?
Mr. Morris?
You won't ride me off the road next time we ride the other way. My client showed me a photograph that I believe is your structure. The color isn't right, it's pink, but is this your rear yard? And this?
Yes.
And can you tell the board about this structure?
Right, that's where I hired the lawyer.
Hold on just a second. Mr. Chairman, I'm referring to this photograph. It's on the back of the first page, and it's the bottom photograph. The house looks pink, I'm sure it's white.
It's on a separate lot. I had to deed both lots. I had to hire a lawyer. You know how that expensive it is. I had to hire a lawyer to be able to get that on one lot.
Okay. So you combined the lots?
Combined the lot and set back 10 feet.
And what's the general, Mike, what's the general size of that structure? Is it less than 600 square feet?
20 by 20.
So it's something. 400.
This is going a little beyond identification. What's the point of the...
Well, what I'm trying to get to is this. I'm confirming what my thought was earlier, that this is an accessory structure.
You were correct. Anything under 600 feet is an accessory structure and would require only a 5-foot setback.
And so can you tell me how proximate you are to, I can't quite see it. And Mr. Burrell, this is the purpose of
my window is approximately, the top of my window is at the top of the fence.
I'm not talking about height.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Everybody can meet the height requirement. But is this a, how close are you to your rear lot line? Is it 5 feet?
10.
10 feet.
10 feet, and my window is below the fence.
Okay.
So you can't see the window. And I can't see my neighbor from the window.
Thank you. Thank you. That's all.
Okay. Okay, no other. Okay, hearing no other opposition and rebuttal, chair will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion we take case number 10,188 under advisement.
Second. Okay, I have a motion by Mr. Mills and a second by Mr. McCabe that we take case number 10,188 under advisement. All those in favor of the motion, give the usual voting sign.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, motion carries. Your case has been taken under advisement. What that means, there may be a decision made here later on this evening. You could stay if you would like, or you may call the office first thing in the morning.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Case number.